Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Illustrious. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Force with Matt and Major. And today we're going to be discussing a somewhat familiar topic to both me and Matt. We've discussed it a lot in little hints and little segments throughout the season, as well as in the offseason. We're going to be discussing a couple players we think are kind of next in line for that two-way contract or, you know, even a standard contract. So we're just going to be throwing out a couple players. This is by no means means that they're definitely going to get a contract. Who knows? They could even not be on the Skyforce next year. So then we're going to throw out at the end just some guys that we think maybe aren't quite ready there yet, but have that potential to build up into a two-way contract or an NBA deal. So without further ado, we're going to get into the first player, and we talk about this guy a lot. So if y'all watched any of our episodes in the past, y'all know exactly who we're going to be talking about. First, we're going to talk about Josh Christopher here. Former first-round pick by the Houston Rockets. He has all the offensive talent in the world. Showcased that this year. Dueled Alondis Williams when Alondis Williams had 55. Josh Christopher hit his first eight threes, was absolutely dominating that game before Alondis Williams. Like, he just got completely overshadowed in the second half, but Josh Christopher was absolutely dominating that game. So he can have explosive scoring, as well as he does know how to pass it as well. And he can play defense when he's engaged. But his calling card is definitely the offensive end and just being a scorer. So, Matt, what are your initial thoughts on Josh Christopher?
I think he could be a guy who can potentially earn a two-way contract one just because of his NBA pedigree. Again, like former first-round pick. At some team somewhere who may need or who may want to give – even like we were talking about two-way contract or a standard contract, like even like a 10-day, like certain guys got last year, because I mean, you could parlay that into a standard contract or even a second 10-day, and you can kind of get your foot in the door that way. But I think he can earn like at least one of those spots, again, because of like that smooth bucket getting that you're talking about, like kind of his swing skill is his three-point shooting. And I think like he's been a hit-and-miss three-point shooter throughout his professional career. Like he was below 30% in both of his years in Houston. He was low 30s, I believe, last year with the Skyforce after being like just a dead-eye three-point shooter with Salt Lake in the very short stint that he was there. But he's kind of like this two-and-a-half level scorer, or at least capable of scoring two-and-a-half levels. And he's just a dynamic shot creator. And like those guys don't always grow on trees. I mean, yeah, the assist to turnover stuff may also be a little bit concerning, that like I guess whether that's decision making, whether that's just role allocation, and who you're playing with and who you're being matched up against on a given night could sway those numbers one way or the other. But I think like just because of his pedigree and because of his scoring potential and his shot creation potential for himself, or even as just like a spot up guy, if he can somehow develop that 3-point shot, like again, it's that's kind of been like his hit and miss skill. I think he could potentially be one of those guys. Like last year, I was looking at it. Sioux Falls' last 10 games per 36, he was averaging 21 points on 44 42.4% shooting. Not the greatest percentage from the from deep, but 92% from the free throw line, which, again, even in a small sample, that could suggest some positive regression from beyond the arc. Again, when you join an organization like the Heat midseason, something they love to work on is like the shooting. And yeah, the Miami Heat sometimes haven't been the best shooting team in the world, but they have guys who they've developed shooting in the past, and those developments in the past suggest that they can do it again. And they have done it again with certain guys in their system. And so I think when you can get your hands on a guy like Josh Christopher, who has that budding potential as like that athletic scoring guard, wing, whatever you want to classify him as, and if they can potentially develop that, you really have something there. And then obviously they want to develop the defense, that and the other thing. But I think just from an offensive perspective, his offensive potential could be something that could really entice teams, especially if he gets off to a good start to begin this 24-25 season.
Yeah, exactly what you're saying. I think you nailed it on the head. He's a little inconsistent in some of the aspects of the game. I mean, if he was consistent or more consistent, he would have never even been on the Skyforce, right? He would probably still be in the NBA. At minimum, I think he would at least be on his two-way contract that he was on with the Utah Jazz. That's why he was in Salt Lake to begin with, like you said. So he has that experience, and he just recently was on a two-way, so we know he's already on team's radar. So he's a real easy guy to throw out there. Kind of what you're saying, his decision-making at times with passing isn't great. I think he can make a lot of passes, but just, I mean, a lot of the guys on the Skyforce had this issue, so it kind of feels like I'm repeating myself when we talk about these, but they sometimes tried to do too much in their passing. Instead of just making the easy pass, they're like, oh, I can slip this pass in, and you can't always do that. So that's part of like the learning aspect of playing professional basketball. But I mean, he's just a natural bucket getter. Like you said, they don't grow on trees. If you're someone that can create your own shot, I mean, he does pretty well in the mid range when he's on his game as well. So that's something that's kind of a lost art, but I think I'm going to project that we're going to start seeing more of that in today's NBA, especially, as we adjust our defenses to three-point shooting. You're starting to see more and more variance in three-point shooting. And I think if you have a guy that's willing to take advantage of those mid-range shots, it'd be really good to sprinkle in. So I think we could start seeing that a little bit more, but I mean, I think he has the potential to be just a dynamic offensive player. I could see him as a guy that you just throw in off the bench when you're just looking for a guy to get a bucket, right? You got like Lou Will type. I'm not saying he's going to be that good, but you're just like, you're putting him in there and you know exactly what he's doing. He's going in to score. He's going in to generate offense. And so that is going to be his role if he ever makes it. And then you try to develop that defense, especially if he's with Miami. That's a, you have to develop defense or you're never going to play. I mean, look at Jovic, right? He offensive talent. He can do pretty much anything on the offensive end, but he wasn't playing defense early in his career. So he wasn't playing. So maybe a team like Miami can develop his defense into just being an average defender and lock in a little bit more. Cause I mean, he has the tools. In my opinion, when you're looking at it, a lot of people that have offensive tools also have defensive tools. They're pretty much the same tools in being able to break it down your defender. You can't get broken down. They're like similar things like that. They go hand in hand. It's just a lot of times it feels like a lack of effort and a lack of like want to, because that's all what defense is. Once you have those intangibles or once you have those like physical gifts, it's do you want to do this every single play? And that's something a lot of players in the G League as a whole struggle with. I feel like if you watch a lot of games, it's very up and down in the defense. And it's something that I think a lot of the guys are learning. So I don't think that's too concerning for Josh Christopher. I think that is a very common problem to have, especially for someone that is so offensively gifted as him. But you start watching towards the end of the year. I mean, if Alondis Williams wasn't there, that was Josh Christopher's role. And so that tells me something too, that the Skyforce, Coach Powell, all those guys, they obviously do a fantastic job at sending guys into the NBA and developing players. They clearly see something in him to give him such a big role in such a short time, honestly, as well. He rose up the ranks pretty quickly as he was given more opportunities and he was healthy. So that is another thing to note. He was battling some injuries somewhat throughout the year and kind of in the middle of the year. And once he started getting healthier towards the end of the year and he had that mixed with the opportunities, he was putting up pretty good numbers pretty consistently and doing things that it takes to win, not just being a selfish player out there that you can see some with other players throughout the G League or trying to make an NBA roster. They're just going for their own individual statistics. He doesn't do that. He's very talented enough to do that, but he doesn't force the issue. He tries to play team basketball, which I think is of note when you're trying to project someone to then be basically a role player or a potential role player in the NBA. If you can only do something when you're dominant on ball or when everything is just given to you and you're getting all the shots, then that is a little concerning to me and kind of empty statistics. But Josh played, feels like, six different roles while he was with the Skyforce, just depending on who was there. I mean, he'll even tell you that he played point guard with the Salt Lake City. So that's not what he's normally was, but he excelled at that as well. So he has a lot of talent in there. And I know this is a long ramble to say this guy can do anything. And I think he really does have a chance to make an NBA roster down his future and stick there, because he's made them in the past. But we're talking about guys that stick, right?
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot to unpack with what you just said, but something that I want listeners to keep into account, this organization, I mean, this, I don't know if this sounds like, we're not trying to sound like we're better than everyone else or like pretentious or whatever word you want to use it as, but like this organization, at this time, we know and everyone knows the type of developmental organization the Miami Heat have. And so, again, we're talking about just guys who are on last year's roster. That roster could look significantly different in 24-25 or a little bit different. It just depends on who their second round pick is, first round pick, if there's a guy who they take who is more raw, which I don't think that's going to happen, but who guys they get in summer league that they want to stick with. Like, there's a lot of variables with this, so like, not saying Christopher will be on the team or won't be on the team, but we're just talking about guys who are on last year's team. But right now, teams around the league, 29 other teams know the Miami Heat have a good developmental organization. They're a good developmental organization in some form or fashion. And so they're also likely to see like, oh, the Heat worked with this guy for a year, 2 years, whatever the case is. Let's pluck this guy because we have a need, or we want to give this guy an opportunity. We like his skill set, whatever the case may be. And then conversely, you're going to get that buy-in from the player most likely, because they're joining an organization like the Miami Heat who are like, okay, I know this organization knows how to develop. I'm willing to buy in and ask and do whatever they tell me to do from just a developmental skill set standpoint. You know what I'm saying? Like Cole Swider's talked about it in the sense that like, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get better, to improve. I've improved in A, B, and C, but I want to continue improving. And hopefully, again, all of these guys want to parlay their development into a standard contract or two-way contract or a 10-day contract, which again can turn into another 10-day contract. That can turn into a standard contract somewhere else or whatever the case is. Because if you stand out in that opportunity, then guess what? You could be somewhere making an impact, having a role. And so there's all these different variable factors. So like, we're doing this in the sense that one of these guys could get plucked. And Josh Christopher is absolutely a guy, because again, you mentioned it before, he was on a two-way contract. He was a former first-round pick who's played 130-plus career games at the NBA level. Like, teams know who this guy is just by name, but in terms of developing his skill set, I think the Skyforce and the Heat are as good as anyone in the NBA at doing just that. It's just a matter of tapping into the right things, and hopefully you're getting that you're getting that buy-in, you're getting that development, you're getting that production from that player. And you're right. So many players were in and out last year just based on going up to the next level. Jamari Bouye, Malik Williams, Alondis Williams, like all these guys, Justin Champagne. I mean, I think that was a little bit before Christopher got there, but they're still producing guys. And so these guys were playing different roles. I mean, we talked about it with Caleb. We talked about it with Malik. Like we talked about it with these guys before. And so I think the role allocation was a little bit different for Josh Christopher. And maybe he's in a little bit more of a stable role next year until he hopefully gets called up to the NBA. At least we hope that's in his future. And we hope that's for all of these guys' future, not just the ones that we talked about today.
Yeah. And something of note that you were saying, how other teams realize how good a development the Heat and Skyforce have. That's something that if you talk to any Skyforce player, they say all the exact same thing. I wanted to come to Miami. I wanted to be in this system. I had opportunities other places, but I turned them down to come to Miami. I mean, you see that with there are two ways. You see that, like I said, in the Skyforce. It's a known thing that the Heat develop players. Agents have told me, I'm trying to get the Heat to look at my guy, my other guy. You know, like, because I talked to some of the Skyforce agents, and obviously they represent other players. They see the development that their player currently in the organization is doing and how they've grown. They want to get their other players here as well. So you go anyone associated with it, the Heat, the Skyforce, the players, the agents, the coaches, everyone all says the exact same thing. The Heat is where I want to be to develop my guys or develop my game. It's just a known thing. So I have a lot of confidence in saying that other teams are looking at the Heat as well and saying, hey, they're really good at developing guys. So maybe if they're taking interest in a player, we should try to find what they see in that player. Now, it doesn't always work out for those other teams because they're honestly not as good as maximizing the talent that we have. Eric Spoelstra, who does that incredibly for the Miami Heat. So it doesn't always work out. So maybe, you know, they talk themselves into, yeah, this player is great for Miami, but man, we can't do that. So then they're hoping they go to the Heat. So it's an intricate conversation there where, I mean, it's been reported by our very own Five Reasons Sports Network where sometimes other teams are like, that player is really good for the Heat. But for whatever reason, they're not great whenever they leave the Heat typically. So we're not going to offer them as much money as you would for someone else that did just as well. I mean, we talk about that every offseason at Five Reasons Sports, how just the Heat have some voodoo in them. And I think another player that honestly fits that conversation perfect is going to be the next guy we're talking about, Caleb Daniels. He is a guy that's been overlooked, you know, probably even by the Skyforce. I mean, the way he had a fight for his role and grow, I mean, we talked about it with him. He was just always ready, and he was always doing whatever it took, and he grew to now being one of the most important players in the Skyforce. I'd be shocked if he wasn't back, especially how he was talking with us. I think he'll for sure be back. And fingers crossed, though, if he gets picked up, dude, I hope he leaves. We are here to help get exposure and bring light to how great these basketball players are. So any player that gets picked up, that's a win for us. So we hope all these guys get picked up, like Matt was saying. But Caleb Daniels, fighting for everything he's ever earned on the Skyforce, proving that he has the tools to be a capable G League player, as well as I think where he really shines a lot is like intangibles and things that don't always show up. So I'll talk about that a little bit later, but I want to jump to Matt. What are your thoughts on Caleb Daniels and his potential in the NBA?
I mean, he's gonna bring it every single night. He's that physical guard. He will be a pain in the butt at the point of attack, and I'm gonna say that in a complimentary way. Like he'll get in dudes' jerseys. He'll be physical with them. And I think something that he developed. I mean, we talked about this with him. I think something that he developed throughout the year that works in his favor is his three-point shooting. again, like when you look at some of these guys and like their track records, like there was some inconsistent 3-point shooting there with Caleb Daniels, but like what you did see from him was like the physicality, like him at the point of attack, him driving to the basket, him getting into the lane, like him going up against ones, twos, and threes, like kind of bodying him up a little bit. Like he's a strong physical guard. But I think like really when you looked at some of the shot creation that was on the Skyforce, there were times where he was playing off ball. And when he was in those spot up attempts, like it was fluid. It was consistent. You saw the potential there. And I think that that's something that works in his favor a lot in terms of his potential, because again, some team's going to look at this and be like, okay, I mean, at least I hope some team looks at this and it's like, okay, like this is a really physical guard who does the little things, who rebounds the ball at a high level, who plays good defense at the point of attack. He was one of their better point of attack defenders. Like if you're not counting Jamal, who, I mean, obviously was in and out, and some of their other guys, like he was one of their better point of attack defenders. And he just plays bigger than he is. And so like there's certain teams out there who will look at that stuff. And I think that definitely works in his favor in terms of what you can do on a basketball court. And I think that's the reason why the Heat took a chance on him last year coming out of college. And I think they're sticking with him in the future because they know he has that budding skill set. And again, who knows what the role allocation for him will be like, but I think he'll probably get more on-ball reps this year with Alondis. I'm guessing won't be playing as many games with the Skyforce this next year, but who knows? And I think he could be a guy that could really blossom and parlay his development into something at the NBA level, whether it's middle of the year, end of the year, whatever the case is. But those are just some things that I like a lot about him. And I think what I like about his future prospects at the NBA level, despite being what, a 6'3", 6'4" guard, something like that.
Yeah. Basically what you're saying, he does anything he's asked to do, right? And he's willing to do anything. He has some skills that he doesn't always show. His 3-point shooting wasn't always able to show that at the level that he's capable of doing it. Then he kind of grew into more minutes and grew into opportunity and exploded at times, winning games, felt like, just from his 3-point shooting and just always making the right play. That is the first thing that comes to my mind anytime I talk about Caleb Daniels. I wrote an article a little bit ago talking about this specific thing. And the first thing I say about Caleb Daniels is a player that always makes the right play. And that's just where I always have to start. Too many guys try to force too many things. He is very level-headed and he understands the game of basketball that, yeah, that's an amazing play if it works out. Threading four guys with a bullet pass. That's a great play, SportsCenter top 10. But is it going to actually work? And that's kind of what we were talking about earlier about guys that have the good passing ability but don't know what passes to actually throw and what not to. Caleb understands that. And it's something that when we were even talking to him, he mentioned how he intentionally spent the year trying to get better at that. So he already knows how to find his weaknesses and specifically work on them and then implement it into games. It's one thing every person works on their weaknesses in their basketball game, but sometimes it's hard to see that actually come forth in an NBA game. And when we were talking, I was like, I just love how you're like this. And he's like, oh, yeah, I thought that was a weakness of mine. And I worked on it all year. And I was like, I would have never thought that was something that he was like, man, I'm bad at this. And I really need to get better. He's just willing to do whatever it takes, always willing to make the right play. And he does not care about his stats. All these guys want to, they like stats, right? They want to put up numbers because that's how you get eyeballs on you at times. But he wants to win more than anything. I mean, he talked about it why he chose Villanova. He wanted to win. He thought he was going to be this big time guy, and he had to buy in. And that trained him for his professional career that now he's in. He said it was very similar. He had to learn how to play as a team. So he's very wise to just be 1 year into his pro career. He already understands all these. That's why I love talking about his intangibles and his mindset. And I know that does not mean you're going to be a great player or an NBA player. All these guys have good mindsets. But for him, to me personally, and having personal conversations with him, it feels a little bit different because it's not the mindset of, I'm just going to work really hard and I'm just going to work harder than everyone else. All these guys work hard. It's the mindset of, hey, I need to critique my game down to something that people might not even notice, or that's not even my role right now, but it's something I want to grow into if I want to have a chance to achieve my dream. And he's working on that behind the scenes. And then months later is when it pays off. He just has that maturity. And that's something I love from him. And like you said, big body guard. He can play point of attack defense. He's going to be physical with you. He's not afraid of the trees. He'll jump right into them, embrace some contact, which is something that is needed from guards. We talk about having a floater all the time in the NBA game, and you need to go over him. Sometimes I think it's a lost art of just jumping into the guy's chest, especially with how the game is called nowadays. A lot of times they call fouls on that, and it's like, what else is the center supposed to do? So they're sometimes free throws, and that can get you going, especially for a three-point shooter like Caleb Daniels. So for him, like I said, he does everything I like to see on a basketball court. He's unselfish. He sacrifices, even at the detriment of his stats, which he understands is going to hurt, you know, his stat lines popping off on Twitter or, you know, the average fan seeing. But that's something NBA teams take notice of. He'll play defense. He'll do, like I said, literally anything. And I know I'm a broken record right now, but I just can't stress that enough. Of so many players have this flaw of they only want to do specific things. And he's just, his specific thing is whatever coach tells me to do, because we're here to win above all else. And if I'm building a team, if a guy truly, if he says it and does it, that actually means something to me. Too many guys say, I'm only here to win. I only want to. Then you start watching it and you're like, well, you're triple teamed and you're jacking up a turnaround fadeaway. But pass out of that. Caleb Daniels, I don't feel like I've ever seen him take a bad shot, which is, I mean, we watched every Skyforce game this year, and I literally do not remember a bad shot or a time when I was like, what is Caleb doing? You have three guys open. Anytime he's shooting it, it's a good, clean look, and that matters over the course of a whole season.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products, and that's why I use Harry's Shaving Products. I love the way it handles, I love the way it looks, and I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard, so better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
No, you're completely right there. You're completely right. He makes the right plays. He makes the winning plays. He makes the smart plays, and he does whatever his team needs. And I think that's important when you're, again, we're sounding like broken records, but I think that's important when you're trying out for, I mean, they're not technically trying out for NBA teams, but every single night they're putting on a uniform, and or every other night they're putting on a uniform, and it's a job application for 30 NBA teams. And if someone catches you and sees you on the right night, your future could completely change. And I think he makes those winning plays, and I think that's something that he like. And I think in addition to what he needs to develop just as a player individually, I think he carries a lot of the team aspects that the team likes and that the team wants out of their players. And that's just really important.
Yeah. And I think Caleb is that last guy on the team that, is in that tier one of kind of what we're talking about here, of like guys that we think have a chance to make an NBA roster. So I think Josh Christopher and Caleb Daniels are tier one. So who is a guy that you think would be like tier two or so, or kind of not quite there yet, but you see something in his game that you think can translate? It doesn't have to be with stats. It doesn't have to be they're putting up big numbers. It's just a guy, when you watch him play, you're like, I see something there that the Heat or another team could develop into being a two-way contract.
Again, I think I'm leaning more into the track record of things. But Théo Maledon, he was a guy that joined the Skyforce really late in the season, only played a handful of games with them. Lit the nylon on fire when he did play with them. I don't think that's going to continue. He shot 78% from deep. I just don't think that's obvious. For obvious reasons, that's not a sustainable mark. I mean, he was a former second-round pick, kind of fell off the map a little bit, bounced around from a couple of organizations. He was with the Thunder for a little bit. He was with the Hornets. He was with the Suns. Who I believe he was on a two-way contract with them before getting released. Like, and then the Skyforce picked him up. And so, like, he's bounced around a little bit at the NBA level. But, again, he's a guy that you just, like, there's name recognition to his name. And I think from, like, an offense perspective, he can be a guy that can create for others. Like, he's shown that potential. He's one of the reasons why I'm picking him for this question is, like, he's played pro ball before, and he has, like, a track record of it. Like, he played pro ball for, like, 3 or 4 years when he was in France before he came to the NBA. And so there's that track record there. And if you just look at his career numbers in the G League, like 4.7 assists to 2.9 turnovers, that's not a terrible, terrible ratio. 15.9 points per game, 49% shooting, 37 from deep, 74% from the free throw line, like solid shooting splits, 5.1 rebounds per game, 1.1 steals per game, which are also decent numbers. I mean, I know I'm just looking at raw statistics and reading them too. There's obviously context that needs to be added to all of those, because, like, not all points are created equally, not all assists are created equally, so on and so forth. Like, there's context to add to all that, but I think there's just potential there for him to develop and grow as a player with the Miami Heat. And I think that's one. I think that, again, we're assuming stuff. We don't really know. At least me, I don't really know. But he probably did join the Miami Heat because it's like, again, what I was talking about earlier, this organization knows how to develop guys. And I think from him falling off of the map a little bit, whether it's due to role injury, whatever the case is at the NBA level, him finding his footing again and him getting in their system and developing all the skills that he needs to develop, I think he could potentially be like another two-way guy somewhere else because of the name recognition. And a guy who has shown like some semblance of potential to be a rotation player in the past at the NBA level. And I think this organization can tap into that again as well as anyone.
Yeah, for sure. And the first thing with him that pops up is, he said 77.8% three-point shooting. It's probably not going to continue. I have a very strong feeling that if that continues, he's going to be a very, very wealthy man.
Hot take.
Yeah, hot take. If hot someone take. Shoots 78% from three, they're going to make the NBA. That's just going to happen, right? But when you look at his career, it's 36.4. And last year, he struggled with 32.4, but the year before, is 38.5. So he's had two really good shooting years, and one kind of subpar. But honestly, when your subpar is 32.5, a lot of guys, that's kind of like their average, right? Or that's their decent. But when that's 6% lower than your next lowest, that's pretty good, right? And for a career average of 36.4, that shows consistency. That's over 3 years. So he's not like he just caught fire once. He is a reliable shooter, and we've seen that. And I don't think it's unreasonable to assume that given another year, a development, I mean, the guy's still really young. He's, if I remember right, 22, about to turn 23. He has a lot of development left. He has those years. So he's been a pro, what it feels like, since he's been 8 years old, because he's been a pro since and before coming to America and being drafted and everything. He understands pro basketball. You don't have to worry about that with him. He's raised in it. But he has a lot of development left still. So he already has that understanding of pro basketball. He's young enough to where you're not too worried, to where he has to find it really, really quick. You talk about guys that are like 27 or 28 in the G League, like they're on their last leg, right? They have to find it quick or they're probably not going to make it. It's just the reality. He still has, honestly, a couple years to where he could find a spot in the NBA, especially now with some of the new CBA and everything that we'll get into for a different episode. But that could play to someone like Maledon's favor, because maybe people are a little bit more patient and a little bit more interested in development versus just ready now, ready now, ready now. So if he can increase that three-point shooting, let's say he's consistently around 38, 37, the most premium skill right now, and I know I just said I think it's kind of going to go away to this extent a little bit, but still three-point shooting. And you can catch a lot of GM's eyeballs by just making threes. Throw that in, like you said, with his passing, and you know he would be like a secondary ball handler. So throwing in four assists as a guy that doesn't have the ball in your hand every single play, that's pretty solid as well. He has a lot of tools, 6'4", about 175. So he has some height too. We're not talking about a shorter guy. So he will be able to get his shot off consistently. And he can help in rebounding as well. He has a lot of tools there. He's just still very raw, even though he's been a pro for so long. When you watch him play, I still feel like he has a ton of untapped potential, which is great projecting his future. And I think he's the perfect answer to this question. So when I proposed it and you said that, a light bulb just went off and I was like, how did I not think of that myself? So that home run answer by Matt right there.
You're giving me too much credit. You're making me blush. No, I'm just kidding. No, but I think like he's a guy, just depending on if he's on the roster next year, just, you know, get him in their strength and conditioning program, get him the necessary development and the tools that he needs to grow as a player. And I think you have like you could have a rotation NBA player, again, whether it's on a two-way contract somewhere else, 10-day, a standard contract if a team runs low on roster spots and they need a guard. Like, you know, there's one of the other 29 teams I think will take a chance on Tao next year. Now, again, he hasn't been the guy that he didn't crack our top two, but that doesn't mean he won't get an opportunity at some point because, again, this organization has a track record, and I'm going to trust that track record until I have a good enough reason not to, and they haven't given me one yet. So that's what I'm going to stick to.
Yeah, and to your point that he wasn't on our top two, one, we are podcasters, and we write about the team and cover the team. We are not the GMs of NBA teams or even G League teams. We can be wrong. So we will admit that we're not perfect. But a perfect example is, when Malik Williams signed on the Skyforce, was he in your top two of to look out for? Probably not. No. I don't even think Malik Williams was in his top two of guys on the Skyforce to get an NBA deal. And he was one of many to get one. So it shows it's a season long thing. And just because a guy starts out at some place doesn't mean he won't develop into that over the course of the year. So this is what makes it fun, though, because if we knew exactly who it was or anything like that, this would be the most boring podcast episode. But we can predict and we kind of put our reputations on the line as scouts here. Matt's doing that a lot this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
So that's the fun in it, though. We might look back in 10 years, like we were saying with the second round draft pick podcast. We might look back in 10 years and be like, we nailed that on the head. Or we might look and be like, wow, we were so wrong. So I think there are probably some other names we're going to find throughout the year, you know, maybe that joined the team or that are on the team and just took a massive leap. I think that might be interesting to see, but it's all in fun. I think those three guys are probably the top three, especially ones likely to be on the team. I think the other name that popped in my head just real quickly, because we're running out of time, Bryson Warren, he is draft eligible this year, so he might even get drafted and not be on a team for the G League, and he might be on an NBA roster. Who knows? But kind of like Teo, he's a great three-point shooter, real smooth stroke, young, been a pro for a while as well with Overtime Elite. He just has a lot of skills, and I think he's just scratching the surface there. If anyone follows me on Twitter or anything like that, they know I'm a big Bryson Warren fan. And that guy, he just understands how to play basketball, and his growth from the start of the year to the end of the year, he might have been number one in all of G League, especially of under the radar guys, of his growth over the course of a year. And he'll even tell you that of what he all learned and what he all developed and understood a little bit more how to play the game at such a high level. But I think that is all we have for y'all today. So once again, we want to thank y'all for listening. We really do appreciate the support and appreciate the feedback on what y'all liked about the episode and stuff like that. So let's go Skyforce.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.